Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have Jim McMahon as my special expert guest. Jim McMahon is the founder and owner of the PVL Group, six companies based in BC doing business around the world. Each company is dedicated to making quality nutrition easy and a priority for every person from any walk of life. Jim is a happily married 39-year-old father of one, currently residing in Vancouver, Canada. Jim was a competitive athlete and is a nationally certified sports coach. He has helped train thousands of athletes in the past 20 years, including Olympic athletes like 1500-meter runner Leah Pels and 98 gold medalist Dave McEachern. He is currently the sports nutrition consultant to the BC Lions and advises bodybuilders such as IFBB pros Scott Milne and Donna Logue, as well as fitness athletes, including IFBB champions Elaine Goodlad and Stephanie Worsfold. As an industry representative, Jim was one of the most outspoken during Health Canada's launch of the new Natural Health Products Office. The Natural Health Products Directorate is responsible for regulating nutritional supplements in Canada. Jim's obvious passion for sports nutrition product excellence and doing business responsibly makes him one of the more colorful speakers in the industry. Good morning, Jim. Welcome to SNU.
Good morning, Corey. Thanks for having me. And congratulations on 3 years doing this.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
So how did you get into the industry?
As far as getting into the actual industry itself, it started in the early 80s. I was working in the east side of Vancouver, working downstairs in a dingy old gym called Western Gym back in the days when that was probably the hubbub, the mecca of Vancouver.
That.
Oh, yeah. Working there, you got to meet a whole bunch of different people. They also owned a little store up on the corner of Kingsway and Broadway in Vancouver, the Shape Up Shop. And at the time, the Shape Up Shop was selling fitness equipment, not so much in supplements. And I kind of graduated, if you will, from the gym upstairs to the store. Found there were a lot of people were coming in and buying equipment, but they weren't necessarily getting any results from using their equipment. About 2% of the shelf space in the store was dedicated only to nutrition, so very small nutrition. And what I found was people who were coming in and asking me for nutritional advice were getting the results. They'd come back and say, hey, Jim, thanks a lot for the results. I've talked to maybe a dozen other people in the last 2 years. Your advice was the best, and I got the results I wanted. And from that, I just kind of stumbled into the industry, never really consciously thinking about this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. I'm going to go out there and design the world's best tasting supplements. There was no forethought. And I kind of left the industry in the 80s, fell into the food industry where I learned about flavoring systems and how to make things taste great and mix well. And eventually found my way back into the industry in the late 80s, early 90s. And that's when you and I met, back in the old Vancouver days there. And it had just evolved from there. At the time, nutrition was just coming into its own. It was starting to just get recognized in the mainstream. And it was a phenomenally exciting time to be involved. And you could see this rebirth. People were sick and tired of just going through the 80s and gaining personal possessions. And they were starting to take conscious notice of their bodies, their energy levels, and just how they felt and how they interacted with each other. And what we found was if people were healthier and ate right and exercised, they were just a nicer person to be around. They got better results. And those people who were making money in the 80s made even more money in the 90s because they're happier people. And it just grew and grew and grew from there. And to the point today where my company is not just based in Canada, but we're selling to countries around the world. And it's not stopping. People, every walk of life, just want to take better care of themselves. And that's what we deliver.
Awesome. That's great. That's a great story. Now, getting back to the gym, what was it about the gym that attracted you to the weights? How young were you when you started? And what was it about weight training that intrigued you?
Actually, that goes back into the 70s. Back in the summer of 76, the Summer Olympics were in Montreal. I was 11 years old at the time, and I was your typically fat, pudgy little kid. I was picked last for absolutely every sport you can imagine when I was in grade 5. When you're in grade 5, if you can all remember back to that age, yeah, you weren't too conscious of many things, but body image started to take shape in your forethought back then. And I got sick and tired of being picked last. So in the summer of 76, I remember watching the Montreal Olympics and the great Russian weightlifter, the super heavyweight, Vasily Alexeyev, winning the gold medal. And he had a very large stomach, if everybody can remember that. But he commanded respect, was adored by millions of fans actually around the world.
For sure.
So from there, I said, well, I think weightlifting may be my calling. So when I was 12 years old, my dad bought me a weight set, a good old-fashioned Weider set. And I just started lifting like a madman. No protocol, had no idea what I was doing, just dove into it. And obviously got some really great results. By the time I was 13, I was picked first for every sport and participated in every sport. I mean, I grew up playing hockey and soccer and just a thirst for knowledge. So when we flash forward to 1984 and I'm working downstairs in Western Gym in Vancouver, just that raw passion that people had. You know, this wasn't the cleanest of gyms or fitness centers in the world. I mean, it was a dungeon. It was a pit. And people were there to get results. People there had camaraderie. People there had a zest for life. I mean, it was incredible. And you just fed off of it. I was making $4 an hour, and I was happier than you know what.
Yeah.
To get there. And I had to open up the gym. I was the morning guy. I had to be there at 4:30 in the morning. I'm driving in. It took me 45 minutes to drive to work every morning, 45 minutes to drive home. It was the best job in my life. Absolute energy, zest for life, camaraderie. You couldn't beat it. And it's neat to have been a part of it.
That's great. That's a great story. That's true probably for a lot of people. And it's interesting to get down into the nitty gritty on what motivates people to do what they did when they first started. Now let's talk about PVL. Tell us more about the company, like how it first began and the types of products you distribute.
I'll tell you more about the company first. Very simply, we started the company in 96, 8 years ago. At the time, I'd been in the industry, in the, specifically sports nutrition side of the industry, with an old company called NHF. Most people now recognize that as a division of New Life. At the time, back in 96, I was very happy working for NHF, and NHF sold the company to New Life, a publicly traded company at the time. I stuck around with New Life for 4 months, and I turned down a few offers from some of Canada's other well-known companies that shall remain nameless. I'm sure they don't want to know they offer. They don't want everybody to know they offered me a job back then. But at the time, it just seemed right in late 96. There was a change in the wind. I have a great affection for retailers that I've met over the years. I could see it in their eyes and see it in their faces. They wanted something different. And in a span of all of 3 weeks, if you can believe that, in August of 96, we wrote up a business plan, presented it to my father. We jokingly say the business plan gave my father a heart attack. He literally had a heart attack the weekend him and I were going over it. It had nothing to do with the business plan, though. And we joke about it now, and he's still healthy and fine and having a great old time, but it's one of our best family jokes. We just started with four products in September of 96, and it was just heartwarming to go around to the stores I'd known for 7 or 8 years at the time. A lot of them just actually were so happy that somebody was listening to them. And we brought out products. We were one of the first companies. And remember, I was a company of one person back then. We were one of the first companies to actually walk into a store with a test result on our own product. And we'd say, here's our test result on our product. If the label said there's 20 grams of protein, our assays would say there's 19.8 grams or there's 20.2 grams or somewhere in between. And they were very appreciative. It helped support their business because then they could stand on the front line with the consumer and say, look, here's a quality product. You may not have heard about it because at the time we didn't have any money to advertise in magazines. Who are we? We're just PVL. What does PVL stand for? Who is this guy? All we had at the time was the support of the retailers who I'd known. I keep thanking them every day. The ones that jumped on board on day one is incredible. And that first year was just incredible. I probably worked 20-hour days, and that's not an exaggeration. I literally worked 20-hour days, and I loved it. It was like being back at the gym back in 1984. You just did it because you loved it, and you didn't question it. You just got up and went for it. The support of the athletes that were buying our products, the support of people going into the health food stores who just wanted to maybe eat a little healthier and wanted a whey protein product that tasted good and mixed well, that's what we delivered. And it was just common sense, absolute brutal common sense. Give the people what they want, give it the right price, make sure the value is there, and everything just took off. And the last 8 years has just been phenomenal. We're at a place where we just did not ever think we would ever be. There was no design to grow even. There was no design to be international. There was no design to have websites and all these things. I mean, there was just no design for this. All we wanted to do was supply the stores that were basically my friends. And it's just grown, and it's just been phenomenal.
A great formula for success, a purpose, and a plan. That's great. Now, I know that you specialize in whey protein, and this stuff is phenomenal, and it's just ripped through the industry since, I think, around 92 it came out down in the States and crept up to Canada. Why do you think whey has stood the test of time, and what makes it so popular?
Fundamentally, we have to look at what whey protein is. Within our industry, in the health food stores and the vitamin stores, you've got protein powders, and you've got vitamin tablets, and you've got herbal formulas. Most of those should be categorized, especially if they're a capsule or a tablet, they should be categorized as a supplement. Personally, when I look at whey protein, I'm not looking at a supplement. I'm looking at a food. I'm looking at something, I mean, whey does come from cheese manufacturing. It's a byproduct, so it's coming from food. And then it's ultra-filtered and cold-processed, and what you have is protein powder from whey. I've always viewed it as food. And that's why I believe it stood the test of time, because it's not something that I consider should be optional. Like if you take echinacea, you're taking echinacea for a specific function for only a short period of time. We just did an article, actually. I co-wrote an article with certified herbalist Jennifer Walker. And the article was on basic nutrition, not sports nutrition, but basic nutrition. And the similarities from what everybody wanted are identical to what sports people want. They want recovery. They want body hardness. They want energy. They want strong bones. You need calcium for strong bones. Well, whey protein, you take one serving of whey protein, you got one-fifth of your daily requirement for calcium right there. So whey protein has stood the test of time because it's actually a superfood, if we can coin that phrase. It delivers one-fifth of your calcium that you need every day, just in one serving. You get one-fifth of your minimum daily requirement for protein. Most people are deficient in protein. They don't even know it. It's also what we call an unattached protein. Unlike milk, for instance, I do a lot of seminars and people say, well, isn't milk a really good source of protein? Isn't cheese a good source of protein? Isn't soy a good source of protein? I go, listen, they're good sources of protein, but they're attached to other things. They're attached to milk sugar in the case of cheese and milk, lactose.
Right.
Or soy is attached to other items within the soybean itself. If you isolate the protein, which that's whey protein, when you isolate the protein, your body utilizes it. Your body will get a benefit from it. And it's radically better than every other protein source on the planet. You can measure that through the biological value. Whey protein has the highest biological value of any protein out there. That's why it stood the test of time, because it delivers results. It is a mainstay product. It's something you should just use. And if you just consider it as just a different source of protein than, say, fish or meat or tuna or eggs, it's also the most cost-effective protein on your grocery bill. And that's really why it stood the test of time. It just delivers over and over again.
Now, what do you say to the naysayers of high-protein diets, the people that think that we already consume too much protein? What's your response to that?
Well, first of all, you have to consider what they're calling a high-protein diet and who's consuming it. I'm sorry, if you're not... I'm under the assumption that God put us on this planet to move around. If you're a couch potato and you're sitting behind a desk, you know, more than 8 hours a day, and that's your whole exercise is getting from your car to your couch to your desk, yeah, you're consuming too much protein. You're also consuming too many other things. Get up and exercise. That's a fundamental. I don't care who you are in this walk of life. Get up. Exercise. Now, assuming that, and there's 6 billion of us out there exercising, high protein diet, most people are not, and I repeat that, not consuming enough quality protein. The problem is most people are getting their protein from certain sources. Like, for instance, you can have somebody who will eat steak. And a steak, I think, is a great source of protein. An 18-ounce steak eaten Friday night at 9 p.m. with a full baked potato and all the chives and onions and sour cream that goes with it, with the big plop of butter and all that other good stuff. First, that's just not a very healthy meal. Second, that 18-ounce steak is just way too much. I mean, a serving of protein we're talking about should be about 6 ounces of meat, roughly. If you were to eat that in 5 smaller meals a day, that's a high-protein diet that's healthy. And that's what we're really talking about. If you overconsume anything in life, it's a bad thing. especially if you overconsume all at once. So the high-protein diet is a misnomer. Done right, it's a great diet.
So we got to qualify protein and be aware that not all protein is created equal.
That's a phenomenal point. Think about this. In our industry, and not even in our industry, you'll open up any paper, we've heard about good carb and bad carb. We've heard about good fat and bad fat. Why don't people talk about good protein, bad protein? Because that is the difference.
Right.
Some proteins are better than others. Some carbohydrates are better than others. And same with fats. Nobody's coined the phrase yet. Good protein versus bad protein. Maybe we should.
Good point. Now, as a sports nutrition consultant to the BC Lions, what are some of the most important principles you teach to the athletes and to the trainers?
Well, first of all, the BC Lions have probably one of the best trainers in the industry, Bill Reichelt. He's been with the team. Well, we shouldn't tell anybody how long he's been with the team. He's been there a long time. We'll leave it at that. He's seen it all. He's done it all. He knows everybody in the NFL, the CFL, and every other major sports league you can name. He's a very well-connected individual. I think I've learned more from him than what I've taught him. All I was brought in to do was to help them improve what they're doing. Any athlete, I don't care if you're a football player, you're a hockey player, you're a bodybuilder, you're a fitness enthusiast, you're just out there doing the gross grind. All it is you have to have energy to function when you're on the field. Like, so when we look at football, they have their game, and you have to perform at that game level. And their nutrition, all the nutrition can possibly deliver is energy and fuel and recuperation. You don't get strength from what you eat. You get strength from doing the training. You get greater strength if you recuperate properly from your training. And that's where nutrition comes into play. It's essentially energy in and energy out. When they're training, exercising, practicing, and then actually playing the game, they're expending energy. And then how well they practice and play the game the next time depends on how well they recuperate. And that all comes down to the nutritional component. So all we were able to do successfully, I might add, was to come in and show them where there were deficiencies in each one of their diets and say, listen, you're just coming off of the practice field and then you're waiting 2 hours before you go eat again. Come on, man. You're not refueling your tank here. You've got to refuel your tank within about 10 to 15 minutes of finishing a real hard training session. Otherwise, you're not going to have fuel when you go to play the game. And me, I'm paying for my season tickets and I'm going to be a little choked if you're not performing up to optimum levels on the field. And that's really what it was about. Finding holes in their diet and saying, here's where you need to shore it up. No rocket science there. Good common sense nutrition. And it was amazing to deal with about 50 athletes and to see that not one of them really had a full grasp on what their true potential was from their own nutrition. And they all went, wow, we can improve. And, personally, having gone to almost all the games myself for the last 4 or 5 years, I could see the improvement. The recovery times were better. Guys were swifter, faster. They recover from injuries faster, too. And in a contact sport, that's really important. The stretching and plyometrics and all their training that you don't see on the field, they were able just to recover so much faster just by implementing simple nutritional regimens, whey protein, the amino acid L-glutamine, and just having a really good carbohydrate intake, especially after training. This is very, very concrete information. And they utilized it. And that's the other thing. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. These guys drank. They drank it up. Good for them.
Right on. So it does make a difference, like the skill training itself. Now let's get into how sports nutrition is regulated in Canada. I know that affects your business directly. And some of the issues that relate to the new Health Products Directorate. Are you pleased with the new standards of regulation in Canada?
I'm pleased with why we needed them, and that they're here. I may not be wholeheartedly pleased with the way they're going to be implemented. Looking back, for us as an industry to make products available for us all to use, we really only had two categories in Canada. Before, on one side, we had food, and on the other side, you had drug. And there really wasn't a category for nutritional supplements. It was kind of hard to bring out a tribulus extract or a creatine monohydrate powder or even the free form amino acids, L-glutamine. And we were in danger of not being able to sell those going forward past 2004, 2005. So we definitely needed a third category, and that's these natural health products, NHPs. And unfortunately, the way I viewed it, the Office of Natural Health Products, the ONHP, they went down two different courses. One was they have product licensing, where each product has to be in receipt of a product license number before it gets sold on the market. The other vein they were going down also was site licensing. In other words, all the manufacturers, distributors, and wholesalers had to be registered with the federal government and have chemists on staff to make sure everything was safe and manufactured according to standard. And I thought the site licensing, and I still think the site licensing is the paramount, most important factor in that, because you've got to manufacture the product right in the first place. Had they put more effort on that aspect and forced every manufacturer to play by the same set of rules and make the rules tight, that would have been great. I think where they're going to get bogged down, and this is going to impact all of us, because what's going to end up happening is in product licensing, there's some ingredients that we've all been using for decades where now essentially we've got to go write a thesis. And I'm not kidding. It literally is almost a thesis to explain to somebody in Ottawa why I want to combine L-glutamine with L-arginine with creatine, for instance. And that whole process requires an adjudicator to look at the product to agree to why we think people will want to use it. And that whole process may take up to 1 to 2 years per product now. Having talked with the Office of Natural Health Products, there is a backlog. They don't admit there's a backlog, but there's a backlog. I think that's a travesty that the product licensing, although the intention was great to give us higher quality products, true to label claim, and of great efficacy, I think that's a very great way to go. However, the way they're going to do it is much like the way Ottawa runs the GST office. Mm-hmm. Just way too much red tape and bureaucracy. Had they left it all up to the manufacturers to play by the rules and forced the manufacturers to be just of the absolute highest quality, it would have established that all the products are going to be of the absolute highest quality. But to force everybody to write thesis, to combine more than one raw material with another, is a little disheartening to see that. And they promise it's supposed to be easy, but from what we've seen and hearing the timelines involved, all that's going to end up happening are products that are fairly innocuous. In other words, you know, I've been taking L-glutamine for years, I've taken L-arginine for years, and I've taken creatine for years. Why can't I combine all three and, right, sell it in one product? And I just don't understand it, and I'm flabbergasted. And I've talked with the people in Ottawa. I've participated in some of the preliminary meetings 3 and 4 years ago. I participated in another meeting with Dr. Phil Waddington. He's the Director General of the ONHP, and Dr. Michael Colgan talked at the same conference there. And we just couldn't seem to get our reasonable point across. And in some respects, these regulations are tighter than drug regulations. They really are tighter than drug regulations, which for the types of products we're dealing with, I think is a little heavy-handed. And I'm not going to back down from that stance. So site licensing, full agreement, awesome way to go. Product licensing, I think they've created too much bureaucracy. And in the end, that drives up the price and lowers the availability. And that really does go against their public domain of what the ONHP is supposed to stand for, was availability and cost effectiveness. I don't see that coming down the pike.
Right, because that's always been the root issue, is health freedom, right? The freedom to choose the products which are safe. And that's always been a contrast between, say, Canada and the United States.
You can still go into the health food store, for instance, and you can buy your creatine all by itself, and you can buy the glutamine all by itself. And one of the benefits of the new NHP rules is now we do get certain products back that weren't available, L-arginine being one of those, a single free-form amino acid. It's going to be back and available. So a consumer can walk into a store and buy all three of those products individually. And we all know that when you're buying individual products, each bottle costs more than if you were to buy all three in one formulation, all made in one formula. So inherently, it's just going to drive up price that way. And for a company like PVL or any of the other companies out there to go and go get a product license for that combination, it's going to cost us tens of thousands of dollars to go get one product license number. It's not going to be that easy. And it'd be nice if we had those kind of profits where we could sit back and absorb the cost and not pass it on to the retailer, and then they don't have to pass it on to the consumer. But we're not that profitable where we can swallow $10,000 to $20,000 for just one product. And imagine how many wholesalers have more than 20, 30, 40 products. You're talking about companies that have to spend $500,000 extra more than what they already spend a year. And that might just wipe some of these players out. That's not what we bargained for. That's not what we asked for. We wanted a little bit of freedom and making sure that the quality was there. Like I said before, had they just targeted site licensing and made sure that every manufacturer stringently played by the rules, I think we'd be further ahead.
Jim, we've got time for one more question. I'm a health food store retailer, and I'm dreaming of opening up my own sports nutrition wholesale company. I'm a sales rep working for your company thinking, I'm seeing what you're doing. This is what I'd like to do myself. What is your advice for someone in the industry or even outside of it thinking of going into sports nutrition wholesale distribution?
That's an interesting question. I like that one. Look in the mirror first. I mean, this is not easy work. You have to really love what you're doing. I mean, I'm not the first person on the planet to say that line. That's commonality with everybody you talk to. You got to love what you're doing. And if you don't love it, don't do it. If you're in it for the money, don't do it. Plain and simple. There's not that much money out there right now, and costs are going up. Our dollar is getting better, but plastic goes up because the cost of oil goes up. All the cardboard shipping boxes are going up in price because of the cost of the transportation to bring them in, stumpage fees in BC, so that drives up the price of the cardboard boxes. Margins are just getting thinner and thinner and thinner and thinner and thinner and thinner. So before you think about doing any business, look in the mirror and be prepared to work harder than you've ever thought about in your life, and be financially responsible too. There's a lot of people who get into any type of business, and they may do it for the right heartfelt reasons, but you've got to do it with a financial common sense. And knock on wood, thank the Lord that we were lucky enough in our first few months that we came flying out of the gate. And that's because of relationship. You better have really good relationships too with maybe your end buyers or some of your suppliers. That doesn't always happen. You can have great common sense idea. You can have the idea that you're going to set the world on fire. You can have the idea that you can build a better product. You can have the idea that you can make it more cost effective and lower the price to everybody. That doesn't make it that you're going to stand at the end of the day. So check the mirror first more than anything else. Write a good business plan and make sure you have the financial backing to stay alive.
Great advice. Jim, do you have a website or a phone number that our subscribers can call to get more information about PVL?
Well, the website right now is www.pvldirect.com. Toll-free number anywhere in North America, 1-866-PVL-WAY. And, of course, WAY is spelled W-H-E-Y. Always get that question a lot, too. So, again, that's 1-866-PVL-WAY.
Great. Good stuff. Jim, I really enjoyed the interview. It's just wonderful to have you on the show as my special guest. You've been on that list, and I've been looking forward to it. I'd like to ask you, as I do all my special expert guests, just to leave us with a final word of advice or maybe a thought of inspiration.
What I would just tell everybody out there to do, it doesn't matter if you're the personal trainer listening or if you're the end consumer listening or if whoever you are, bottom line is you're here. It's now. The clock is ticking. What are you waiting for? If you're not exercising, get up and exercise. If you're not eating right, start now. Not tomorrow, right now. Nike said it best, and you can't reinvent the wheel here. It's just do it. Best advice in the world. Whatever that is, just do it.
Jim McMahon, founder and owner of the PVL Group. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Corey. Appreciate it very much.
This concludes this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. We hope you have enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview. SNU is produced monthly and is a division of Holly Health Services, located in Burnaby, British Columbia. For details regarding subscription, please visit CoreyHolly.com. This is Doug Austin, wishing you the very best of health and fitness for life.
Representing lifestyle. New way of life. Listen. It's SNU. Sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight. Malik with Sports Nutrition Update. Prolong your life. Live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHolly.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see a change in heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.